Well, as disciplined as we may be, or as organized as we may be, there's a truth that there are many things in our life that will happen over which we have no control. We don't have any say in it. God sovereignly controls everything that happens in time of one's life, and both the positive and the negative. And if one does not have God at the center of their life, none of what happens will make sense, and the person will not know what to say or do in view of that coming judgment of God. And so we see that God has appointed a time for everything. Just look at this in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. So there's two different Hebrew words used for time in that verse. The first one is this appointed time, and that refers to a time that is appointed or established and that's prepared and set. The second word, time, which is the one used throughout the rest of the section, is the one that refers to a time that has a limit to it, as opposed to a time of eternity. So Solomon's point is this: God has set the time boundaries for all kinds of things that will happen to a person in life, because he's just how he is. And before he goes into eternity, everything has a place and everything has a time. And so if a person is trying to go through life without a close relationship with God, most of it will not make any sense, and life will end up empty and meaningless. If, on the other hand, one is in a close relationship with God, then most of the things that happen in the course of life will have clear meaning, and one will know how to respond to that. Because everything that happens under heaven is time-controlled by God, and its boundaries are set and determined. And some of this we're never going to figure out. But God has appointed things in the time of one's life that are positive and negative. And I want you to just read through these with you. Beginning at verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. So there's a list here, and it's comprised of 14 positives and 14 negatives. There are 14 things that are favorable, 14 things which are unfavorable. And sometimes some begins with a positive, and sometimes he begins with a negative. So everything on that list, Solomon knew God controlled, specifically as it related to Israel and to the individual. So God has appointed a time for birth and a time for death. God is the one who gives life. He's also the one who takes life. Job said this: the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Hannah said, the Lord kills and makes alive. Moses said of God, it is I who put to death and give life. Dr. Walter Kaiser said it very well. He said, God appoints both our birthday and the day of our funeral. Now, we do know when our moment of birth was, but we don't know when God's appointed time of death is. Therefore, it's imperative that we live our lives for his glory. God has also appointed a time for planting and harvesting, literally for Israel and for any farmer for that matter. Success in agriculture comes from God. God has appointed a time to kill and to heal. Probably Solomon had his father David in mind when he wrote this. David spent much of his life literally killing enemies. And although Solomon also initially was involved in some of this, his kingdom was a time of healing for the nation. Solomon wanted everyone to realize that the timing of all this was completely controlled by God. God has also appointed a time to tear down and to build up. In the sovereign timing of God, there are times to tear down, there are times to build up. There's true of a nation, it's true of a building, true of an individual. Break it down, tear it apart, and then rebuild it is something God so sovereignly does. And so God has also appointed a time to weep and a time to laugh. There are some people who just can't seem to ever figure out the reality of these verses. On the one hand, you have some people who walk around in total depression. They couldn't smile if their life depended on it. On the other hand, others walk around with some giddy, silly smile on their face like life is one big party. and both perspectives of life are extreme. God has appointed a time to mourn, time to dance. God providentially controls the sorrows and joys of life. And so we need to learn more and develop more of times of mourning than times of dancing, because sometimes we just want to sidestep that. And God has called us to balance that out. God has appointed a time to throw stones and gather stones. There are several views as to what this means, but we know one biblical interpretation is that of ruining an enemy's land by spreading and throwing stones on it. When land is filled with stones, the water stops flowing and the ground is almost impossible to cultivate. God has appointed a time to embrace and to refrain from embracing. That word refrain means to move far away from, keeping a distance. It's a time of affirmation and relationship, but there's also a time of confrontation and putting those things aside to think seriously about those relationships. He's also appointed a time to search and a time to stop searching. Every search and rescue team struggles with the timing on that one. And there's an appointed time when it's right to search for God in prayer. There's also a time when one should stop searching. There's a time to seek and search for the lost soul. There's also a time when the search stops. God has appointed a time to keep and to throw away. There's a commentator that says there's biblical justification to have garage sales. This has to do with dealing with things in life. Some things are to be kept, and some things are to be cleaned out and thrown away. And God has appointed a time to tear apart and to sew together. Tearing clothing in the Old Testament was connected to receiving bad news, especially about the pending judgment of God. It's a time for a nation and church to humble themselves before God. There's also a time for the whole operation and the individual to work together to harvest something for the glory of God. He's also appointed a time to be silent and a time to speak. It takes tremendous wisdom to know when to speak and what to say, and the tongue can be a dangerous weapon, and wise is the one who knows how to use it. He's also appointed a time to love and a time to hate. Swindoll says, "We are from a generation that has talked about love, 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 until most of us are practically nauseated over the word. We seem to be in love with love. A love that's almost unthinking, non-discerning, gullible, loving anything." But the statement from Solomon, actually from God, puts it in this perspective. There is a time to demonstrate love, but there's also a time to hate. Acts of injustice, acts of prejudice, inequities ought to be hated and ought to be withstood. And there are things we ought to have, and there are people we ought to realize that what they're doing is completely wrong. I should hate all who do iniquity. I should hate one who sows discord among the brethren. Hate a liar. Should hate one who loves violence. And so those are strong words, but I'm teaching from the Word of God here. And so understand that that person can turn, but what they're doing is detrimental. And so to put that aside, and to say, I can't keep going with this because this isn't good, this isn't of the Lord. And then there's a time for war and a time for peace. Peace at any cost is not a biblical doctrine. There are times for peace and there are times for war. There are right ways, God-ordained ways to fight. And the Christian life is a fight, and we are called to fight the good fight, and we wage a good war. So to balance out the timing that has been put before us, that's the trick.